Welcome to Frankly Speaking, a public service program of George Mason University. For most children, getting together is happiness, and the ultimate in getting together is, of course, going to school. After the first few days, most children, and their parents, have adjusted to this major trauma. But there are always a few who have trouble adjusting, whether it be to the new world of kindergarten or the big step of starting primary school. With me today to talk about long-term adjustment to school and how parents can help their children fit into this new environment is Dr. Robert Gilstrap, Professor of Education at George Mason and a specialist in early childhood education. Bob, what's usually the hardest thing for children starting school to adjust to?
Well, you know, if you're thinking about the youngest child, someone who's in kindergarten or nursery school, it's really leaving home. And that might be in some way difficult for parents to fully understand because the fact that they see this as an exciting new place the child is going. But it's also a frightening place, you know, to a lot of children as well. They wonder if they're going to have a friend there. They wonder if they're going to like the teacher. They wonder if they're going to like the snacks. You know, things of that sort, you see. So just breaking away and leaving the parent, I think, is probably the most frightening thing because it's a completely new world.
It's a very structured environment, particularly for a child that hasn't had any kind of preliminary idea of it, such as play school. Do they have trouble learning to sit still, learning to listen to one person, focus their attention, that kind of thing?
Well, one of the things that you'll find is that if you go into a kindergarten right now, you see a wide range of abilities. And that's not just because of the fact that you have children ranging, let's say, from about 4.5 in age to maybe some that are, let's say, a year older than that because of the admission policies that we currently have. But you also find it because of the fact, as you mentioned, some children have been in nursery schools or daycare centers, and they've had this routine that they have been following. Others, however, have been at home with their mothers or their fathers or grandmothers or other relatives. And so it means then that it is difficult for some teachers to be sure that they're going to be able to reach all of these children and to be able to maintain the kind of order that they may like. So they really do have to have, I think, differing expectations and not expect all of the children to be able to sit for, let's say, 30 minutes for a story or whatever the activity might be.
What are some of the signs that some of the behaviors that the children display that might indicate a real problem?
Well, if you find a child who really is having a great deal of difficulty at school, going along with group activities, sitting still for what would seem like a reasonable, you know, amount of time, participating with the other children in a cooperative way, then you probably have a child who's not yet ready for that kindergarten. And I'm saying he because many times we find that it's the boys, because of their own developmental stage, that they may not be ready to go into that particular setting and to be there with the other children on a half day or even a full day basis, regardless of the type of background that they may have had. They may not be ready for that particular school. And so that's when the teacher begins to talk with the parents, talks with the principal, and they decide what is the better course of action for that particular child.
Can it be a negative experience for the children to be withdrawn from a school in this way? For two reasons. First of all, they may have a sense of failure. And secondly, it may have left them with a nasty feeling about school generally.
See, the problem that we have, of course, is the fact that if you begin an experience like this and you're withdrawn, it's possibly a negative experience for you. But if it's handled in such a way that the child realizes that as he has gone to the school, he's been trying it out, trying to see whether or not he is ready for it. If he's not yet ready, well, then he'll get ready for the next year. Then that can become, hopefully, a positive experience, you see. Now, it all depends upon the way in which the parents view it. or the way that the parents and the principal view it as they're working together on it. I think there's a lot of tension on the part of parents. I am a parent of four children. I know exactly, you know, how you feel when you have a child who may not live up to your expectations. The major thing that you have to finally accept is the fact that your child is an individual. And even though you may want him to succeed in every way, just the way that perhaps you did, or the way that the older brother or sister may have, there is nothing that you can do to push that child into succeeding. And so if he needs a little bit more time, then that's probably a better thing for that particular child.
Do you think parents have a tendency to expect more of their children these days than they used to?
Well, there are a lot of things happening right now in our society that would cause parents to feel that way. There was a recent article in one of the major news magazines about raising a super baby. So there's lots of information that's available to parents, books that have been published as well as magazine articles. And they all seem to be saying to parents that you need to really kind of push your child intellectually and socially in order to really be not only the best that he can be, but also better than the other children within the neighborhood, you see. So it's not just trying to help your own child reach his full potential as a child, but also I think this competition that we sometimes feel. Now, the reasons for that, I'm not going to try to dig into, you know, within the short time that we have here, but it seems to be very much related to our total society. But it's very easy to get caught up in that as a parent, and I think that you in some way have to begin to look at your own expectations and whether or not they really are realistic for your child, based upon what you know about the child and based upon what you want, you know, for that child.
I can imagine that kind of over-expectation would be very detrimental for the child, too.
What happens is that the child then is never able to actually please the parents. Mm. And of course, at the early age, that's the major source of gratification for the child. He wants to please his parents, you see. And then, of course, if he goes to school and he's not living up to the parents' expectations, then he does begin very early to have bad feelings about himself from the point of view of his own self-image, self-esteem. It means then that the people that he looks to say, gee, you're a great person, are really looking at him and wondering, you know, through their attitude and their behavior about his ability, you see. It's not a good way to get started off in life or in school.
Well, looking on the more positive side, what can parents do to help their children with their long-term adjustment to school?
I think one of the major things is for the child to show for the parent to show a genuine interest in school. I know in my own dealings with my own children, it's very easy, I think, for them to know when I'm really interested in what they're doing, or when I am just kind of pretending to be interested because I think I ought to be, because I'm their father, and because I truly believe that I'm an important person, you know, within their own education. Mm-hmm. So it means then that showing a genuine interest by not necessarily raising the standard question, what did you learn in school today, but really beginning to take an interest and then on an ongoing basis raise questions about, well, how did you do with that report that you were working so hard on that? It must have really gone well. Or how do you feel it went? You mm-hmm. know, did you get anything back from mm-hmm. the teacher? Or how did you think it went? What was your evaluation of it? Beginning to show that kind of interest, I think, rather than just to have a report every evening about the things that you think you may have learned in school.
What did you learn in school
today?
That's
right. It's a kind of a standard question. It's kind of a joke, and it's the sort of thing that I know that a lot of parents do raise as a standard question. But yet I think that it doesn't dig deeply enough. Because the fact that what you want to know is how children not only what they did, but how they feel about the things that they did in school. Do they feel that they're really learning something? Are they enjoying school? And so on.
What about things like reading to children before they go to school? Is that a help? And what about even teaching children some things before they go to mm-hmm. school, so that perhaps they're even going to kindergarten able to read elementary words? Is that detrimental, or do you think it's an advantage?
You see, it's interesting that you would raise the question about reading particularly, because the fact that I just completed a book with one of my colleagues here at George Mason, and it's the title is Ready to Read, and it was put out by John Wally this past year. One of the things that we try to emphasize within the book is the fact that parents are the child's first teacher. There's not any way that we can get out of that. We are actually teaching whether we think we're teaching or not. So there's no way in which we can say to anyone that parents are not important teachers. But it's the way that we go about the teaching. You know, do we sit the child down at a table and we say, okay, this is an A and this is a B and this is a C? Or do we, as we're in the process of doing things at home or going on trips or buying groceries at the supermarket, do we talk about the letters of the alphabet as they relate to the things that we may be purchasing? Things that might begin with this particular letter, you see. So I don't think that it's detrimental for us to be teaching children before they go to school. But I think it's the attitude that we have, our expectations again, as well as the way in which we go about doing this. I like to think that we should use informal and incidental techniques. You know, where we read to the child, and in the process of reading to the child, we talk about some of the beautiful words that are in that particular story. Or we might begin to say to the child as he gets a little bit older and is more interested in letters, we might say, can you find the words that begin with this particular letter? You see, to me that's quite different from sitting the child down and drilling them on the letters of the alphabet. That way I think he will have a curiosity and an interest in reading. The other way I think he will learn to hate the alphabet because of the fact that it's seen as an independent sort of activity.
Would you also recommend the same kind of attitude and working with numbers as with reading? We hear a lot more about reading than working with math, mm-hmm. as a matter mm-hmm. of fact. So would you suggest sort of going to the grocery store and counting out oranges?
Yes,
and that
very
kind of
much
thing?
So. That's mm-hmm. right. But again, that's my own philosophy about the way that a parent should be working with their children. I like the idea of it being much more informal and not as structured as it would be within school. One of the things that we have to accept is the fact that we do have a school setting that has been developed by people in our society as a more systematic way of educating children, you see. But at home, we have really the ideal learning situation. Here we have usually the child on a one-to-one basis or maybe two or three, and so there we're able to personalize and individualize education just in the way that we would love to do it. Within the public schools or the private schools, but we're not able to because of the numbers of students that we have. So it seems to me that we should use much more informal and much more enjoyable techniques at home. And that's what I've always tried to do with my own family, and that's really what I would recommend to other parents.
Dr. Gilstrap, it seems to me you're putting forward the point of view that learning is a lifelong situation and that it should lead naturally from what the parent is teaching the child into the school situation, and then the child will probably have far fewer problems.
Cool.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you very much. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program of George Mason University. I'm Helen Ackerman. Thank you for listening.